mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Roth Radio, D-Row Large in the house here. I'm talking to Anna Holtzman. She is the director of Subway Dreams, which concentrates on the lives of New York City subway musicians. Anna, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Okay, tell us where you go from here. You have to find, tell us what you're looking for here.
I am looking for a film distributor, so if anyone out there is a film distributor who hears this, I'm looking.
Well, this is an amazing picture here. I watched it last night, in fact, and I recognized some of the musicians who were in the subways there. And when I was talking about it with the fellas in the back, Alberto, who answers the phones right away, said, "Oh, I saw this guy," and he described who you just described with the little
dolls. Oh, the guy with the dolls?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If somebody like myself wanted to go with Be Young down into the subway and just put some sunglasses on and put a hat out in front
you
of us. Can you do that legally? Can you go anywhere you want? Explain how that works.
Well, you probably can't go anywhere you want. Like, if you can't go somewhere where you're obstructing traffic and interfering with people's safety, but anybody is allowed to play down in the subway. You don't have to be in the program. It's a law that they passed in the 1980s, although not all of the cops who work down there seem to be aware of that. They do harass the musicians quite a bit. So,
what do you mean they harass the musicians?
Oh, they ask them to stop playing. Sometimes they'll give them a fine or even put them in jail, you know, temporarily. People have a lot of, the musicians have a lot of stories about that, and that's a big reason why they want to join Music Under New York, because when they have the banner and the little card from the program, it tends to, you know, get the cops to leave them alone.
Okay, but are the cops, explain again, why would the cops bother somebody specifically? Is there, you can't do it?
You know, they're on a power trip, they don't like the music, whatever.
Really? I don't, that doesn't sound right to me. That sounds
I mean,
like
I'm just theorizing. I don't really know why they did it.
I wonder if there's prohibited in certain areas, okay? You know, I got busted for sexually harassing an entire generation. So I can't be anywhere near a church, a school, a pharmacy, you follow?
Right.
I have to be 15 miles away from anywhere where intelligent recourse is discussed. But you're saying that pretty much I could go down there, and because I've always thought of that.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I think there's like a whole rule book about where you can and cannot be, and you have to be a certain number of feet away from the ticketing agent and all this stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, your volume has to be reasonable.
That makes perfect sense. How did you pay for making a film like this? This looks like $500,000 effort. How did you go about this? We've heard many stories of people who burn out 3 credit cards, or you probably burned out 3 boyfriends, or their bank accounts at least.
I burned out my parents on I lived at home, and I kept working, and I had a chunk of money from my grandpa, and I made it work. So.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Now, with the people, now you can download pornography onto your cell phone. Everybody's got an iPod.
Uh-huh.
Virtually everybody walks around with headphones surgically attached. It's now a fashion accessory. Does this detract from subway musicians?
I don't really think so, because subway musicians tap into a whole different thing. I mean, when you're down in the subway, I guess people are listening to their iPods, but you can, you know, you're still going to hear the subway musicians, and most people are just down there listening to the noise of the train otherwise.
Is there such a thing as subway comedians? Have you seen one?
I have not seen one in action. I met a guy named Master Lee, who is a comedian who performs outside, and I believe he said that he's done it in the subway, but I don't know.
But it's primarily music. Are there subway jugglers?
Mostly,
is there subway
music,
vaudeville?
Everyone knows there's break dancers. There's a lot of dancers down there. And, of course, there's the ever-popular guy who dances with a doll, who's not in my film, but he was the first subway performer I spoke to when I was getting started on this project.
Okay, explain what do you mean by dancing with
the doll?
The guy
who dances with the doll, anyone who lives in New York has probably seen this guy. He's from Colombia, I believe, and he dances to salsa music with this life-size doll that he made himself, from what I read. And it's like real dirty dancing, and she looks really alive, like her butt's kind of bouncing all over the place because he has his hand in a pocket back there, and
Oh, I've seen this individual down on Times Square. I know exactly who you're talking about. And that's why I bring up, you brought up the image of breakdancers. That's been around for a lot of years. Is there a particular breakdance group that you run into routinely that catches your eye in particular?
There are a lot of them, but one that I filmed is the NYC All-Stars, and they're phenomenal. The guy who leads the group, his name is Stephen Clark, and he dresses up like Michael Jackson, and he channels Michael Jackson. He dances his moves better than Michael does. Well, or almost as good anyway. And he's also, there's a girl in his group called Lock and Q. She's from Japan, and she's insane.
She's in your film.
Yeah, she's in it for a little while.
And where is she from?
She's from Japan. And she's the most amazing breakdancer. I mean,
yeah, she's incredible.
And can't believe your eyes.
Where does she currently live that she can dance like that? Because that did not come from Osaka.
she lives in New York. I don't know where exactly, but.
And do you keep up with these individuals?
Some of them. Yes, I mean, the ones who I spent a lot of time with, I do, yeah.
And how many of these folks actually continue on beyond the subway, or is that the Carnegie Hall of their dreams?
Well, I don't think it's the Carnegie Hall of their dreams, but there are a lot of them who, you know, they have made it in one sense or another. Like, most of the people who I came into contact with are professional musicians. They play gigs in, you know, established clubs and elsewhere, and some of them do film scoring and stuff like that, but a lot of them say that they love going back down into the subway because of the contact with people. It's so immediate, and you really get a genuine audience reaction because people are not holding back down there.
Well,
and
the audience reaction is physical. They'll stand around you in a half a circle, or you will have no circle. It's either one or the other, it seems like. Have you seen anybody doing animal acts down there?
I haven't, but I'm sure it's happened.
No, I mean, there are so many little dogs and so forth wandering around in the city.
That's probably illegal, but I don't know.
Well, that was my question. Are you allowed to take Fido and Rover?
Well,
and
I have a dog, so I know you're not allowed to bring one down into the subway, unless it's a seeing eye dog, which my dog can't pass for. So.
Oh, okay, because, you know, the first thing I would do is get some adorable little mutt, right, and put a little collection bucket, duct tape it to his back, and let the dog do the collection. Thing, right? You let animal follow him around, make sure everybody gives.
It's a good idea until the dog bites somebody.
What about electronic equipment and stuff down in the subway?
You want
to bring a keyboard or a speaker or an amp or something? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, as far as amplification, that's another reason to join up with Music Under New York, because only the people who are members of that are allowed to use amps. And they're also the only ones who are allowed to sell their CDs, so...
Okay. Yeah. And are you finding that this is becoming more popular, or that it's becoming, has it kind of reached a level and stayed there?
Subway music?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's been around for a long time. I think it's gaining more acceptance since the Music Under New York program started, because it only started in the mid-80s. And before that, you know, it's just like, whatever, totally disorganized, I guess. So I think people respect it more now that they see people with this banner that's, you know, been approved by the MTA, and they're less likely to view these musicians as panhandlers.
Like Sly and the Family Stone said, everybody is a star, and it's more true now than ever in an American Idol kind of a culture, all right?
Yeah.
Everybody, especially with the internet, and everybody can start creating and producing their own music at home, a lot more opportunity for self-expression. And I'm wondering, you know, if a lot of more people are heading into the subway. What about performing in the parks up on sea level here? Is there different regulations? Can I just walk into a park and put a hat down?
As far as I know, there are no regulations in the parks. As far as I know, anyone can do whatever they want in the park, you know, within reasonable.
Talking to Anna Holtzman, she's the director of Subway Dreams, and that's focused on the New York City subway musicians. You can see her picture at the Two Boots Pioneer Theater on March 18th. That's the Two Boots Pioneer Theater on March 18th and March 25th. And we can find you, if I'm not mistaken, at annerloo@yahoo.com. annerloo@yahoo.com. I get that right?
Yeah, that's right. And you won't find any info about it if you call the theater, because it's a privately booked thing, but you can email me and you'll get the info.
Anna Holtzman, what an interesting story. Is this going to have a part two? Because in Hollywood, it's all about sequel, baby.
I'm hoping so. That's the plan.
Next, you probably want to follow one of these musicians as they go in and you address the record companies and so forth. with, because the fellow, what did you call it? The long rubber band that he was playing. What does he call that?
The rubber band horn.
The rubber band horn belongs in cinema. I can't imagine somebody not utilizing that for soundtrack.
He's a star.
Yeah, I do believe so. And I find it really curious that he didn't get selected for mass approval. He's definitely onto something big. And I think you are too, Anna Holtzman. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And I don't even give a care. I feel like the world is turning on me. My dreams turn to ashes right in front of my face. I'm getting kind of worried. And I feel so out of place.
Maybe a baby gun.
You're going to have to find the right key if you want to make it in the subway, son. What do you think? You want to go down into the subway, be young? We'll take the tracks and we'll play it on a little stereo, a little shoulder motor. No, we should do some Van Halen songs on the acoustic guitars. What do you think? A little Ice Cream Man, first thing in the summer? That was Anna Holtzman. Interesting guest, huh? Subway Dreams is a great picture. It's a documentary, but it reads a little bit differently than that. It's not just, eye on different individuals. There's a lot of hopes and dreams that go on down there, and the characters are really colorful. Just like I was talking, I was talking to the fellows in the back about it, and right away, everybody starts recounting their own favorite guy, My favorite story is about the lady who hired a dog walker. For her little, she had one of these little chihuahuas or something like this, and she lived in Midtown. And it was a Latina lady, who would come up, and I think she was Mexican. In fact, I know she was. And she would come and pick the dog up and in the afternoon and disappear, and then supposedly drop the dog off an hour later to the empty apartment while mom was at work, so to speak, right? And this the woman, the dog walker, would show up every day, 5 days a week. And the dog would always be there in the empty apartment when the owner got home. One day, the owner got home. The dog was not there. She figures, who knows what happened? Who knows where the dog walker is? They probably just missed the bus or whatever. And she goes, I'll take a little walk. And she took a little walk down into Washington Square Park, which is in the village, right? And lo and behold, there's the dog walker with three other little dogs plus her, each one wearing a little sombrero. And each one wearing a little shirt, and the dog walker playing a guitar and singing Mexican folklorico songs in Spanish, and a hat full of money sitting right in front, and the little dogs, dressed like mariachi, so forth like that. I would have given the lady a raise. Come on. Also, we had Debbie Harry, who was just on here, and what an interesting call she is, huh? I'm going to go see that tour. Good stuff. Maybe we can get them with Big and Rich. That'll be an interesting combo here. With the new cars, you want to take a phone call before we bang? Go ahead. Take that call. Sour Shoes. That sounds like a... That sounds like a...
Let's go into a Van Halen medley of songs and albums of Van Halen that were charting during the month of March and years gone by.
What are we listening to here?
I think this guy is with a keyboard. I think he's a Subway musician.
And he's singing Van Halen.
He's singing Van Halen.
Let's hear it. Go ahead, friend. Go ahead.
Michael Anthony's
my name's an Esma. Just around a limit of club.
That was the most amazing Subway musician recitation I've ever received. I feel flattered. I feel validated. I feel complimented. Animal, it's no longer your show. Sorry, son.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
Дэвид Ли Руф, столько силы. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Это чистая сила. Radio Roof 6M.
DavidLeeRoth.com worldwide. If you're in uniform, you're in any of the military, we'll take your call. Collect, if you're going to give us a call from outside the United States, I know a lot of you are listening all around the world out there, we'll take your call. Collect as well. Talking New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. That's DavidLeeRoth.com on the internet. It's also DavidLeeRothShow.com. 866-313-3733. You know what? Let's just freestyle for the rest of the show. Anything you guys want to talk about, any questions. In fact, I'll give advice. I'll do an advice moment. My advice is free for a reason. Animal, you're first. You want some advice?
Sure, man. Give me some advice.
Okay,
man.
Well, no. You have to ask me for some specific advice.
Oh,
don't you know how this works yet? We've been broadcasters for 2 months, man. Come on.
Oh, what kind of advice I could ask David Leroy?
Okay, well, while you're thinking about it, okay, give us a call, and I'll give you free advice on any subject at hand, in any department. And look at Sasha go into overdrive there. You do have a question in mind?
I'm going to dream something up.
You dream something up here. 866-313-3733. And I'll answer to the emails if you don't want to hear your little voice ask it on the air. Or whatever subject you want to go for. And then while the calls start to pile up here, some of the most important news stuff here. Movie theaters asked to jam cell phones. Are you not sick of people in the movie theaters talking on cell phones? I'm sick of people going to clubs and talking on cell phones. Who are you talking to? The people in the next booth? Come on. Well, it becomes like it's a fashion accessory, like Paris Hilton. You hold it up to your ear the way they used to hold up transistor radios back in the 50s, etc., right? And you know, so where are you guys going after this, man? That's like a mantra for this generation. So, like, I don't know, man. We're going to be here for a while, and then, like, I'll call you when we're done. Actually, nobody's actually inside any building anymore. Everybody's actually out on the sidewalk smoking cigarettes and calling the other cell phone a block away, right? You can get this kind of gear. I know for a fact that you can get cell phone jamming gear. You get it from some of the spy kind of stores or whatever. I don't. That's not a brand name, but you know the shops that sell. So you can bug the office or put a camera that nobody knows about. There is a device that jams cell phones, and the concern is that somebody can get that and use it for a terrorist action. Okay, if you can blank out cell phones for a two-block area, then you have serious security issues. On the other hand, I got serious social issues. Is that every time you walk into a club, every time you walk into a restaurant, people are on the cell phones. Animal, you've worked many of our finer drinking establishments, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Does cell phone use cut down on the drinking and the tipping of the girls?
I think so, but we kind of like banned them from our clubs when they start putting the cameras on there. The girls got thinking they're getting their pictures taken, and anybody on a cell phone, they just freak out, and then we have to like look and see if they take the picture or whatever. So we just banned them all together in the club, man. But some people do it, but I don't really too enforce if they're not around the stage. But every time you see a light flash, the girls just freak out, man.
And that's a whole another privacy, right to privacy issue.
Right to privacy,
I didn't even think about that, but now everybody's carrying around a digital camera. Ooh, interesting calls, huh? Anyways. Oh, yeah. Okay, somebody likes to know what temperature is perfect for a pint of Guinness, and this comes out of Brooklyn here. Okay, you have two schools of thought in this. I'm going to go first with Hutch from the United Kingdom.
Thank you.
His accent fits Guinness better than mine. Go ahead, Hutch, you're on.
The best way to drink Guinness, the best temperature to drink Guinness or any dark ale is cellar temperature, which is usually around 40 degrees, maybe slightly above 42.
Okay.
Cellar temperature.
Okay, but you're talking about a cellar in England where they invented bad weather, fog.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's where they invented upper respiratory distress, right? Okay. So the average cellar is a lot closer to the average temperature of my refrigerator.
That's right.
Go again.
That seems a little cold to me.
Yeah, if you think it's a little cold?
For Guinness. I mean, in New York City, I had one place where it was about 3 degrees warmer than everyone else, and it was the best.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
It's over here by Times Square, by 48th Street.
It does lose its taste if you refrigerate it too much. Any ale, really? Any like Guinness, any dark ale, it'll
And
just
Dave, I also found out why the Guinness tastes better in Dublin, and I came back and tasted it here. I was, what's wrong? It's homogenized when they send it here. No, they do another process to
Is that right?
Yep, homogenize it. I guess
homogenization is basically boiling it.
Yeah, and it changes it.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
That's interesting. See, I find that the colder the beer is,
the better.
The more I can drink. Okay. Go ahead and take the calls. Do you need advice?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to, like, because when I go out with the guys, they know when I get, I don't drink beer, but I always drink, you know, the non-alcoholic beer. And I always ask for a glass of what, Brian?
Oh, Duels.
And a glass of what?
Oh, and a glass of ice.
I got to have ice on my beer. If it's not cold, I don't care how cold it is outside, I got to have my beer on ice.
What do you mean you put ice in the glass of beer?
Yes, I do. We're not drinking unless it's got ice on it. It's got
really?
To be very, very cold. Yes, it's not refrigerated. Because when you're down south.
Okay, stop. Because O'Doul's doesn't qualify, in my mind, as beer, traditional beer. That's
right.
A different kind of beverage. That's a malted beverage, right?
I even water it down even more. See, when you're from down south, you got to have your beer cold. They would not drink it. It's got to like have like ice crystals in it almost, because it's like after you get off work, working out in the sun all day, you know, you want your beer very, very cold, and it's been with me to this day.
You're not too far off the mark here. I've been eating dinner every 3 nights or so at a place down, it's right underneath the Village Voice, if you see where the newspaper is down on Bowery. It's a Japanese restaurant called Gyukaku. You know, they sell it's Japanese barbecue.
Yeah.
And the beer comes in a mug that's so cold that even no matter how fast I drink it, by the time... Stop it, Sasha. That no matter how fast I drink it, halfway down the mug is so cold that an iceberg, like, forms in the middle of the beer.
Yeah. That's my kind of beer right there now.
Okay, you're not far off. From Covington County Tokyo, Japan.
I think beer has better taste when it's not too cold.
Yeah.
If it's too cold, it kills the taste. Right. I can't even taste it.
It kills the taste. Especially dark beer.
Yeah, like Smithwick's.
Yeah, like Smithwick's.
Yeah, but would you drink Budweiser at the same temperature you would drink Guinness?
I don't think so.
No way.
I don't drink that kind of beer.
Okay, let's expand this. What sporting event goes best with Guinness?
Hurley. Hurley, which is an Irish game.
Hurling.
Hurley. It's like...
No, I'm going to just keep with hurling.
How about darts?
Okay, Dave, here's another question from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Dave, what is good background music at a wedding reception? I ask you because you have been the god of background music on Free FM, and you will will you attend my wedding, please? I may already know your wife, Wendy. Okay, it depends on what kind of a wedding reception, all right? Because I've been to wedding receptions that play everything from old Rolling Stones to the most familiar wedding reception stuff is we've only just begun, right? It's the Karen Carpenter approach. I think probably, Randy, the best test, and I'm going to assume that this is your wedding reception, all right, is you're going to want to see how the family responds, because this is how your wife is going to respond in the future. She's in love currently. She decided to marry you. She's current. She's going to pretend, even if she dislikes. You're going to see the reality of her thinking. exhibited in the family, okay? The first thing you want to put on is Al Green, especially if you're a white boy from Canada. If they can get through three Al Green cuts without any religious disputes, without any strange faces, because I've been to weddings where they only played, and I mean weddings where the kid was 25 years old, okay? And they played Barry Manilow, and they played John Waite, you know, and they played We Only Just Begun, and I thought, you know what? I could clear this room with just two good Al Green cuts like that. But in fact, if everybody smiles, and they're all a bunch of closet cases, and everybody, you know, and they break free, you know, you do Yo, We Only Just Begun, cause I like that. If everybody comes out of the seat, when you see enough butts come out of that seat, you know that you married a good one. All right, here we go. Brooklyn, thanks. I'm gonna have one now. Ice in beer. Ah, pure evil animal. Okay. Jennifer from Newton, Pennsylvania, what would you say to Jehovah's Witnesses who come knocking on your door, right? There's an interesting thing that you can do, because it's called cookieing, okay? We used to do this in the airports when I first started on the road, okay? Is that you used to have the, what were they called? The Hare Krishna. And they would always go lurking around in the waiting areas of the airport, and you could never peel them off like a bumper sticker. Once they attached themselves to you, you couldn't get rid of them. So we would do what was called cookieing. All right, is knowing that you're going to encounter somebody, and I don't suggest this. These are tricks done by professionals under professional supervision and instruction purely. Some of these scenes are not usable for younger viewers, but hey, you can give it a try. Just tell them you heard it here. Is you get one of the... you can do it with donuts, but Oreo cookies are better, okay? Because they have that, the cookie part breaks into crumbs, and then you have the mush in the middle. With donuts, you just have mush. It's a choice. It's an artistic choice. Take the whole thing of the small, there's like six cookies, all right? Like they send to school kids. Put the whole thing in your mouth. Chew it up until it's the consistency of muck, okay? The whole thing there. Get it going, all right? Like melting ice cream at the bottom of the Baskin-Robbins bucket. You know, when you go, can I have some chocolate? Skip that. Okay, that's the consistency that you want. You want that thick, mucousy, ugh, okay? Get your mouth full like this. You be the cookie leader, all right? You need somebody like Animal to come up behind you as soon as you open the door, and they say, can I show you a book? You make that face, Sasha, like you make when I make a good joke. You go, yeah, like that. And when you lean over, Animal comes up and goes, honey, who's here? And hits you right behind the shoulder blades, and your cookie is book. Another good trick is milkshaking somebody. I did this to half the Sammy Hagar road crew. This is what I guess. Oh, yeah. You remember this. Yeah,
I remember it quite well.
There was a two-week period after my big fist fight with Sammy Hagar and management. Sensio was in there getting involved, and a lot of the buffet table got turned over. Every single day before soundcheck, I would have security go out and buy half a dozen extra-large strawberry milkshakes from McDonald's. Take the cover off. Don't worry about room temperature or cold, because it's already that same consistency, right? And you just carry it around, because down in my neighborhood, that's a deadly weapon, baby. And you can perfect this at home. Is what happens is take two steps and trip. It sounds easier than it is, but to make it look believable is, here, turn the music off. I'll show you. Sam, it's good. And there is no jury there is no court of law that will incarcerate you for milkshaking somebody. Especially if you perfect that third step. The third step is what sells it. But if by chance the Jehovah's Witness gets into your house, you don't know. Maybe your spouse, a loved one, a child, the nanny, the maid, the gardener, they don't know any better. They let the Jehovah's Witness into the house. Great. Prep for this. Get yourself a table setting with a thick cotton tablecloth. Set it up with as much junk garbage as you can possibly set, okay, from Orchard House Supply or Home Depot. Get the cheap, thin little glass stuff that if you tink it, it breaks, you know, like this. Pile as much as you possibly can onto the table like you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, okay? Then you get the individual to sit down. Somebody like yourself, Sasha, you're very, you'd be a perfect subject to this. You act intrigued. You act ready to learn. Please regal me, says your face. And you get them to sit at the table. Then when I come in and I go, honey, who are you talking to? I've carefully secreted one of those big diaper baby pins in the back of my pocket. And when Mr. Jehovah's Witness is staring at your cute little bra, I lean over and safety pin his shirt to the tablecloth. Well, have a milkshake. Okay, let's take a call. 866-313-3733. Advice is free. Go ahead, friend, you're on.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how you doing? I've been listening for a couple of months. I can't stop listening because I'm just waiting for something interesting. But you suck, man. When's Howard coming back?
You know what? Like I said earlier, is that if we're going to have detractors, that you're going to be invented, you're going to be unique, you're going to have a brain, you're going to have a penis, you're going to have a future, and you don't sound like you have any of it. Is he still on the line there? I'm fascinated that they would sing, that they would sit around this long and wait to deliver the same two syllable whatchamacallit there. You fine? Tell you what, let's Sasha deal with a heckler, honey. You deliver and go ahead and talk to him.
Well, he's gone, but I think that he should widen his vocabulary. I think that he shouldn't say you suck anymore. And for future advice, I'll give advice. If you're going to call up and you're going to heckle Dave, please have a couple more things to say. Thank you.
And widen your butt cheeks too, pal. By the way, pursuant to that last caller, his wife called in a little bit earlier. She told me he was probably going to jump into the proceedings and that he would be aggravating. And she did tell me back in the bathroom that when he called to deliver him a message, she said to say... No, I can't tell what he looks like, but he sounds like his name is Bob. Not because he's dyslexic, but because he sounds like he's been bobbing for something. He didn't sound like he's been bobbing for apples. Sounds like more like his face probably looks like he's been bobbing for French fries. Yeah. Take the next call, man. Give me one more call here. Free advice, Roth Radio. Go ahead.
Yo, Dave, how you doing, man? This is Vinny out in Long Island.
How are you, Vinny?
I'm doing fantastic. You've been an idol of mine for a million years.
Okay, thanks.
You're doing a great job, man. My question is, number one, I wanted to say happy St. Paddy's Day to you.
And back to you.
The second thing I wanted to say is I got a psychotic ex-wife that continuously takes me back to court for my two children. I just recently got married last weekend, and this woman will not leave me alone and will not stop bringing me back to court. Any advice, since you're the ultimate womanizer out there, I can do to get rid of her?
What is she taking you to court for? What is the charge?
Basically, I have custody of my two daughters, and now she wants to contest the custody and take the girls back.
Okay, are you suffering mental trauma? Are you suffering anxiety? Has this impacted you psychologically? Okay, well, what you do is you get yourself an attorney who's going to work on a percentage basis. Don't get one who's going to charge you by the hour. The key to this is you find yourself somebody probably off the television, and you can say you're going to give them a percentage of whatever the damages ultimately be, and you get yourself sent up for a 3 to 7 year case, and I guarantee you that within 2 years, her bank accounts, because she's going to have to deal with an attorney who charges by the hour. You follow what's happening here? And since
yeah, I got
and,
you.
and you drag this out interminably. What they're going to try and do is scare you with depositions, which is a question and answer phase. Usually they last between 3, maybe 6 hours of depositions. I sued CBS 15, 20 years ago, and they put me through 60 hours of depositions of question and answer, all right? I still beat the case, okay? So you get yourself ready for a nice long haul, just like we did in Iraq. Dress warm, get yourself an attorney who's going to work on a percentage basis and say, sweetheart, we'll talk this out in about 7 years if you're even still in the country. Thanks for giving us the call. You know I'm a junior lawyer. I watch court TV almost every single day.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
Pamela from Philly.
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, I am.
Pamela, what do you think of this subject that we're discussing here today?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, a lot of your questions that you wanted to know. I'm a prostitute from Philadelphia. I have been doing this, and I lied. I'm not 28, I'm 41. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Okay, can I ask you a few questions before
sure.
you give me your thoughts? What age were you when you started this, Pam?
I was 21.
Okay, and what encouraged you to do it?
Like I said, I didn't encourage myself. It found me.
Oh. Roth Radio, taking all the best phone calls from all the best listeners. Yes, we are. 866-313-3733. Give me number 5. No jive there, Hutch. Go ahead, Will. You're on.
Hey, what's good? I just wanted to give a call. I kind of can relate to Animal. I used to bang when I was younger, you know what I mean, as a Crip. My OG, where I was living at right here in Florida, was from California, 213th Street chapter, you know what I mean? And he kind of ran us into a lot of things and situations where I ended up losing my best friend, and he was just down with us through association. He never took the blue rag into his heart like we did. So I can kind of relate to that, and losing him and hearing what Animal went through, you know, it's a life, and people don't really take that as something. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just fed that. It's not what you want to do. But if your family ain't there, you find your family in that rag, and that's it. You just ride or die. So I can kind of relate to that.
Have you ever heard a story like Animals on radio?
Not necessarily. You just either live it or, you know what I'm saying, you see it happen around you. I commend you on top of that and top of the show that you guys even brought that to the table, because now you got to understand how we're living and how we're going from that to trying to become something now. I've got kids now and a wife. And I had to put that down, and my OG understood that, you know what I mean? And that's the only reason why I'm not on the streets banging right now.
Hey,
you know
thanks very much for the shout-out there, Will. Have yourself a great St. Patrick's Day. 866-313-3733. Reality, huh? I told you. We talk about a lot of supposed reality series here, but they're mostly contest game shows, you know? When you hear stories about, like, what Animal's been discussing here for the last day and a lot of the other stories, too. Most people just share with you the map. This is the territory, huh? Go ahead, number 8 here. 866-313-3733. Brian, you're on. Give it.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Excellent. Brian, what do you think?
Well, I'm calling about that parole thing I heard you discussing this morning.
Yeah.
I've been on parole for about 5 years now. And here in New York State, you see a parole officer twice a month, and if you were a bad boy, it turns into once a week. The guy you were talking with said it was less than once a month. And on computers,
yeah.
I wish I could talk to my PO on a computer.
Okay, so you talk directly to an individual how many times a month, my friend?
At least once, and sometimes 4 times a month. Sometimes you go to what they call... intensive, and they make you come in every week.
I got you. Do you mind if I ask what you were busted for?
Oh, that's no problem. I was busted for armed robbery. I was guilty. I got shot in the spine during the course of a crime by the police, and then I went to prison, Greenhaven, for 13 years.
Okay, so well, that's a pretty strong commitment there. You sound like you know exactly what you're talking about. What do you think about these, what do you call it, tagging parolees? You know, it's like Uncle Junior on The Sopranos wearing a thing on your ankle. You think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, to be honest with you, naturally, I wouldn't like it. I'm biased, Dave, you know? But, I mean, I think I've proven my, as far as my, you know, I can speak for myself. I think I've proven that I learned my lesson and I'm not going to be doing nothing wrong no more. And myself, I would not like to be tagged.
It sounds like you've made the commitment. You sound like a pretty grounded individual. I'm going to buy what you say. Thanks for giving us a call, Brian.
Okay, take care, Dave.
God bless. Say happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Wow, 13 years out? That's bound to change somebody's wild, evil ways, huh? Give me number 14 here, Hutch. Somebody wants some advice. Advice is free for a reason, coming from the Roth Show. D-Row, large in charge. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Dave, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? How you doing?
Good, my friend. What can I help you with this wonderful good afternoon?
Yeah, it is a nice afternoon. I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing, man. I was real skeptical at first because I was an avid Stern listener, but you're doing the right thing, man. I'm really impressed.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. I've been seeing this girl for about 2 years now, and we're very serious and everything, and we just had a kid together. She has three kids with an ex-husband of hers. And we just had our first kid on Sunday, my first kid, and we haven't decided whether or not we're going to circumcise him yet. And we're kind of going back and forth, trying to figure out what we want to do, the pros and cons, and I'm not too sure what I want to do. I'm leaning more toward having him circumcised, and she's leaning more toward not having him circumcised. But we can't really figure out. We can't come to a middle ground on it. We're trying to figure out what to do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you quite explicitly about that. It depends on where you figure Junior is going to spend the rest of his life. Okay. If he's going to spend it in general inner city, where you got all kinds of hospitals and a hygienic environment in a very controlled kind of environment, then it doesn't really matter. Okay. But
right,
being a life of outdoors, if Junior is going to go climbing in the Himalayas, if Junior is going to go heading off into the Amazon, if he's going to start making his life's work in some way out in a third world country, if he's going to travel to the African continent, if he's going to start doing some exploring in the high mountains or in wild weather temperatures or stuff,
right,
heads up to where there's heavy snow or something like that, I can tell you about fellow climbers of mine who've gone so far as to have their appendix taken out when they didn't even have a sign for it so that nothing would go wrong. Staying clean, staying hygienic when you don't take a shower for up to 6 weeks. That's how long I didn't take a shower on my trip to the Himalayas there. And
exactly.
Once you're way out of what's considered cultured, sensible environment, then anything that you can do to keep yourself in right, tight, and ready for the fight makes a big difference, including cutting your fingernails so that you don't collect dirt underneath of that. And your own health becomes a major, major issue. And something like that, you better believe you want to do that, because you catch an infection, something like that, down in your Speedos, and you're 2 weeks away from the Puma helicopter, which is only going to take you to Lukla. You can't even spell it, and that's another 2 weeks hike on foot. You better be glad you planned ahead on something like this. Am I making any kind of sense to you, Dave?
Yeah, perfect sense. See, that's basically my whole opinion on a thing, is a cleanliness deal, you know? And I'm circumcised, so I kind of want them to be like me as well, you know?
It's not even a religious issue. It's not a cultural issue to me at all. It's like, hey, if I'm climbing with four other characters and one of them gets stricken down and has a problem, then everything comes to a stop. And I've experienced situations where somebody got hurt or somebody got sick, and you come to a stop 2 weeks hike away from any civilization, talking witch doctor kind of civilization. It's something you need to think about. Is Junior just going to be in the inner city environment where everything is copacetic, or is he going to go journeying out into the territory like Mark Twain said? If he does, get rid of it. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Okay, number six here, Brian. Free advice. 866-313-3733. What are you thinking about, Brian? What can I help you with today?
My sister has just recently been diagnosed with kidney cancer, and she has a 6-year-old only child, and I want to know how she could go about breaking the news to them that she's got kidney cancer.
You got a counselors who are very, very skilled at dealing with both adults and children. Don't think that your natural genetic predisposition for this is my kid, I'm the parent, there's nothing that we can't achieve together. Believe me, that never just works.
Right.
Especially in something traumatic and as heavy duty, high stress as something like that. And it's not a one time thing. It's not like, oh, here's the sex talk that dad gives to Junior. And then you think, okay, it's done forever. It's a process that's got to go on and on and on. And there's all kinds of counseling that is available to you. I know as a licensed EMT here in the state of New York, okay, badge 327-466. I've worked in every single borough here after dark. I specialize where they speak Spanish, okay? And these are the individuals who need the kind of assistance that you're requesting specifically. I hear these kinds of stories all the time. I run into some very desperate, when my 2 summers riding the ambulances, I ran into some very desperate people who discussed this issue with me in the back of the ambulance. How am I going to explain to my little girl here? She barely even speaks English yet, etc. This kind of a thing.
Correct.
These kinds of counselings, these counselors, these kinds of groups that instructors or mentors or whatever you want to call them are easily available to you in and around the chain of hospitals. Where are you calling from,
Matt? I'm calling from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Oh, well, okay. Then you've got all kinds of great medical facilities there. That's first world superstar stuff, all right?
Right.
And if you start asking around, you'll find that there's all kinds of counseling that is available to you. And Mom is going to need it as much as Junior. You're going to need it as much as anybody else.
Yeah, that's correct. Dave, listen, another thing I wanted to say is thank you. I wrote to your producer and they sent my sister an autographed picture of you.
Oh, sure. I remember
signing
that.
That made her entire day. She loves you to death. She thinks you're the greatest, and I think you rock, man.
Hey, thanks so much, and good luck for your quandary, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Roth Radio, huh? Special thanks to the Palm West for our executive breakfast here. 250 West 50th Street. Palm West serving it up large for us. The whole floor eats this breakfast. All the secretaries, all the assistants, the interns, the fellas who come on next. Everybody's digging in here. Thanks to our general manager, Chris Gilman, from the Palm West, 250 West 50th Street. More free advice? This is Good Calls, 866-313-3733. Bang it in there, Hutch. Roth Radio, you're on.
Hey, what's happening?
Go ahead.
Great show, brother.
Thank you. That's it?
Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
How you doing, brother? Great show. How you doing, Sash?
I'm good. How are you?
I think he wants to talk to you, Sash. Go ahead. Turn the music off. Make a dirty phone call to Sash. Go ahead.
No, come on. Back up that truck, right? Hey, you guys flying into Boston tonight or what?
No, you know what?
Saturday. I'm coming back with a nice cold natural ice.
You know what happened is the usual confab of confusion happened here. I thought we had this all planned out a couple of months ago.
Right.
You know, the usual falling in on itself. I'm going to predict around 4th of July, actually. And you know, the whole idea behind the show is let's travel. Yeah?
Yeah, my dad died on the 4th of July.
Uh-oh.
We went on 2 years ago.
Uh-oh. Well, so is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing, obviously.
Not obviously.
I just wanted to say hi to
Sash. Hi, how are you?
Doing great, baby.
Good.
Duff. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Have a great afternoon.
I'm going to be partying all afternoon and all night.
Woo!
There is no other to compare to you. You got me blind in all that I have to you. You saw me feeling I've never mind. But those feelings, they come complete when you're not here on time. Oh, baby, love.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
You come creeping in my mind.
Oh, baby, love. Oh, baby.
Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.